He used to race against Bob Hanna.
Bob Hanna. He stunk, man. He couldn't even compare to me, man. You gotta be kidding me, man.
What about McGrath? Has he got anything on you?
No.
Yeah.
Yes, I did.
Welcome, everybody, to the Racer X podcast show. Thanks for listening. And look for these to be up on iTunes sometime soon for those that use that format. Might be a little while, as I have no clue how to do that, despite getting some pretty good explanation from somebody on how to do it. I'll work on it. Anyway, this week I have James Stewart, and I'm pretty pumped about this, actually. James is pretty swamped with people wanting his time, and although I've always wanted him to do one of these, I never directly asked him. I just figured that he wouldn't want to, or would just say yes, but really mean no. I mean, after all, he's pretty busy. But then at one of the last Nationals, I was in the Cowie truck making myself something to eat, as usual, when he said he told me he listened to the Dungy one and thought it was pretty funny. Then he asked me where his was. So that was it. It was set. It was great to hear for that. Great to hear that. And after the Motocross of Nations, we planned on it. But he got caught up in testing and was pretty busy. The U.S. Open came and went, and I figured he'd forget about it. But I got a text saying simply, let's do this. So we did. This conversation took place over 2 days because my PC battery was actually running low, as I figured I'd only get 30 minutes of his time and I didn't charge the battery enough. And despite me looking like a complete idiot and having to stop him, he agreed to do it again the next day and called me right when he said he would. All in all, it's 90 minutes of open and honest conversation, and I have to say it's one of the best podcasts I've done yet. I had a lot of fun. He's a cool guy. He comes across as all business at the track, but I think that's just because he has pressure and expectations and things going on. He's got a fun side, though, and we've been seeing it lately. Anybody out there, you can just Google Rick James Stewart and on YouTube, and you'll see another side of James. There's a little funny audio going on in the second half of this thing, but that was because James' phone was dying, and he was switching to different ones, and I fixed it the best I can, but some funky stuff going on. I apologize for that. Also, like I said last week, we're looking for a sponsor for this show, so email me at mathis@racerxonline.com, and we'll make it happen. Wouldn't the Your Company's Name RacerX Podcast with James Stewart sound pretty sweet? So, anyways, lacking a sponsor, here is just the RacerX Podcast Show with James Stewart. Thanks for listening.
All right, Rick James Stewart, thanks for doing this podcast show. I really appreciate it. I know you're super busy, and thanks again.
No problem, man. No problem. I told you we'll knock it out, and I'm here, so let's do it.
Yeah, that was awesome. You actually wanted to do this, and I never thought there'd be any way in hell you would ever want to do something like this, so I never really asked you. But that's cool. Great. That's awesome. So.
No, it's cool. Like, I actually, like, enjoy doing interviews, and, like, you seem like a fun person, you know. It's not the old standard, you know, hey, you know, what about this and that, so we'll have some fun with it.
Yeah, for sure. Let's get something right out of the way first, though. Let's talk about the U.S. Open. Obviously, it was good for you. The big question I have from that is, you know, that triple-triple thing you were doing. Now, did you say to yourself, hey, I'm going to pull this out if I need it, or were you always planning on doing it in the main? Like, what was the thinking behind that section? Because that was really key in you catching up quickly.
Well, yeah, like, I did it, like, well, in practice, it was kind of muddy, like, when we were doing it, and it got rutted and stuff. And then what actually, like, made me, like, go ahead and do it, I saw Justin Brayton jump it in the pole club, like, the little fast lap thing. And I was like, all right, well, you know, I'll try it, but I didn't want to try it there because I was like, well, if I blow, you know, $250,000 over jumping this stupid jump, you know, when I knew I can be the fastest without doing it, I was like, I'm going to look stupid. And then I did it in a heat race, and it was actually, like, easy. Like, it was actually really easy. And then I was planning on doing it in the main event, and I just kept doing it. And it was actually, for me, it was easier doing that than going double, triple. So.
Right. I was wondering if you were like, okay, well, he's ahead of me, so time to pull the trigger on this thing and start doing it, you know, but it was almost sketchy because you would catch up to him so quickly. It was like, oh shit, you know.
Yeah, no. Every time, like, I would get there, like, I would have to actually slow down because I wanted to jump in, and I just like, well, all right, well, I'll just slow down a little bit and I'll jump it, and then, you know, get on them close to the inside and stuff, and then I hear people talking about, well, if it wasn't for that triple, you know, he would have never caught him, but it's not my fault the guy didn't jump it. You know, we tried to ride the track.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's no way, the fastest way around it, and I just happened to do it, so.
Yeah, I mean, it you were catching him, but it was just a matter of how quick you were, you know. It definitely helped you out, but hey, yeah, exactly. I spoke to Chad about it for an interview for a story, and he was like, yeah, I think I could have done it. I just don't know where my balls were or something. So.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, it was, like I said, you know, it wasn't that tough. You know, I jumped tougher stuff. It looked intimidating and stuff, because I remember when I walked practice, I was like, dude, nobody's going to jump this. And then, you know, it looked intimidating, but I jumped some stuff that was a little bit tougher than that before.
So yeah, like, yeah, I bet.
Do it.
Just the thing that was sketchy was the third one was taller, so that was all. But
yeah,
obviously the bike worked good. Talk about your Yamaha, I guess. Talk about, and don't give me like the usual crap answer, like really what's better about it on a Cowie and what's worse, or what do you need to work on to get it more like a Cowie, and what's better?
Well, I think, you know, I think the Yamaha definitely turns a lot better. And, you know, from my understanding, you know, a lot of people said, you know, they couldn't turn the Yamaha on. Mm-hmm. It was just like, I didn't understand that, because when I first got on it, that was the biggest thing. And, you know, the suspension, I think the suspension works a lot better. And, like, for me, you know, like, I'll tell you straight up, you know, if the Cowie was better, like, it would be better. But
yeah.
I seem to be a lot more, like, comfortable, you know, right off the bat, you know. And, you know, towards the end, you know, I got my Cowie working really good, and, you know, it became a good bike. But when we first started, it was, dude, like, all right, you know, we got a lot of work and stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, and when we made it better. But I just think, like, for me, every time I ride, like, and, like, this is not a knock at all, I feel, like, really, really in control on the Yamaha. Like, I don't feel like I have to work, you know, like, be kind of like that timid, like you know, sometimes if you see me, you'll see me hit something, you'll be like, whoa, man, that was crazy. But, like, now it seems to hit it, you know, everything seems to be a lot easier and stuff. And,
yep.
You know, I liked it. And, you know, I can tell you, like, at U.S. Open, like, we definitely didn't have the best setup.
Right.
You know, for the days we had on it, and then, you know, going in there, like, we definitely struggled a little bit. And, you know, but I went straight back to California, and then we tested obviously a lot more, and I'm actually really stoked on the way I got it now. So, you know, we'll see.
Here's a question that I was wondering. Can you just take your Cowie suspension, same setting, same everything? I know KYB guys talk and this and that, and just bolt it on your Yamaha? Have you tried that? Does it work the same?
No, it's actually a completely different setup. And
is it? Okay.
Me, I asked that too. Yamaha uses different stuff. They use, like, it's the same suspension, obviously, but they use different, like, sizes and stuff. And, yeah, I know some of the stuff, it won't work on there. And obviously, we haven't done that, but I know for sure, from what they told me, it will not work.
Yeah, okay.
I think they already tried that, too.
Yeah, so you're, like, right back to zero or scratch as far as your suspension stuff and working with it and everything, so.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird because, like, I mean, when I first got on Yamaha, it was like starting over. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, it was like a completely thing. Like, a lot of stuff I ran on my Cowie did not work on that, like, as far as the way I had set up.
Yep.
And you can see the difference how my bike looked at US Open compared to how my Cowie looked. My Cowie was all choppered out, and my mm-hmm. Yamaha was back tall in the rear. So, you know, a lot of stuff doesn't work, but, you know, now we're getting it figured out, and, you know, it's going to be good.
Is it still weird to look down and see a blue front fender? I mean,
to be honest, I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. It's like anything. Like, I think I was in a point where I just wanted, like, you know, obviously, like, it's nice to have a change and stuff like that. But, you know, and I wish I would have made this call. You know, I wish I would have made the decision and, like, the change and stuff. And, you know, I kind of felt like this was coming on, like, you know, after, as soon as I saw my Cowie deal last time, you know, 07 went good. But when I got hurt, like, a lot of things changed, you know, mm-hmm. at the end of 07. And, like, I just kind of felt like this was kind of creeping up and stuff. But it's just nice to, you know, have a whole different, like, mentality, you know, just being around different people.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Not having that, you know, the good and the bad. Nobody's scarred on my team, you know.
Right.
Nobody's had, you know, the ups and downs and stuff. And it's just cool. And everybody, you know, works to win. And, you know, and it's just good.
Dude, you'll love, I mean, you'll probably already know, but you're going to like Larry Brooks as a manager. I had him 1 year. And I know him pretty well. I've known a lot known him over the years. He's a great team manager. I'm sure you've already seen that.
Yeah, no. The cool part about Larry, he's a rider, and, like, you know, he understands a lot of stuff. And, you know, he's been at the test track every day I rode. I mean, anytime I hopped on that thing, he's been there. Mm-hmm. And we talk all the time. I mean, we'll talk. I actually just got on the phone with him a little bit ago, and we were just talking about stuff, and, you know, talking about how to make the bike better and stuff. And, you know, he's cool. And, like, he's a funny dude.
Yeah.
You know, he's a funny dude when he tells me about a lot of his stories and stuff. And, you know, he's good. And it used to be funny because now, like, you know, we're getting our friendships and stuff. And I used to be, you know, I used to tell him all the time, like, dude, you know, when you used to get booted off on the track from AMA and stuff about, you know, you walking around the track, I said, that was us. You know, we used to call down there and say, dude, look at Brooks. You know, you're just letting him walk around and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And down there, and he used to get kicked off. And I told him, you, that was us all the time. And I said, when I used to jump the finish line and point into the stands, I was like, you know, pointing to the little, where all the team managers standing, mm-hmm. you know. I said, that was towards you. Like, I was giving you to look back like, not today, son.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just funny.
Yeah, he's one of those guys, dude. He'll go to the wall for you, too. You know, like, he'll, whatever it takes, whatever you need, whatever. Like, he definitely fosters a mentality of a team, you know what I mean? And, like, it's everybody versus the world with you guys. So that's good.
Yeah, and, you know, it's good. You know, like I say, you know, I enjoyed my time at Kawasaki and stuff, but, you know, again, like, you know, there was a lot of people, like, I wanted to thank, and one of them, you know, is Rick Ash, you know, that guy's badass. I mean, he's a super nice guy. No matter what, he's never fluctuated and never changed on me and stuff, and that's one guy I really want to thank over at Kawasaki. I never really had the chance to do it, but, you know, besides that, you know, everybody else is cool, and you know, like I said, I'm excited about the change and stuff, and, you know, like we talked about, obviously, these are the answers I'm supposed to give you. You know, I'm supposed to say I'm happy, no matter if I'm miserable or not. I'm supposed to tell you, but I actually really am happy.
No, I think it makes sense. You got a new beginning, new change, so.
Yeah.
And Rick's one of those guys, too, like, even though, let's say you were pissed at Cowie or they were pissed at you or whatever, it doesn't matter. Next time you see Rick, he'll be as friendly to you as the day, you know, you first came to Cowie. He's just a really great guy, so.
Yeah, no, for sure. And, you know, it's hard to find a lot of people like that, and Rick is definitely one of those. He's through it all. You know, he went through it, you know, with the Emick deal, the Carmichael deal, and everybody. Yeah.
The Jeff Ward deal, the Ron LaChine deal.
Yeah, he's been through it, so, you know, he's a good guy.
Yeah, he's real friendly. Now, everything's cool with Dungey. He's allowed back at your track. Everything's all right?
Yeah, you know what's funny? Like, you know, Dungey, you know, and, like, you know, obviously everybody knows we had it out. Mm-hmm. Well, he had it out with me, I guess, after the U.S. Open and stuff. And,
yeah.
You know, he was claiming that I took him out and stuff like that, and I didn't understand where he was coming from. And obviously, you know, I guess, you know, if everything happens so quick. And, you know, he went outside in the first corner. We came in, and, like, I walked in his truck right afterwards and told him, like, dude, like, you got to be stupid. And I said, you know, for all the stuff, like, I done done for him, you know, him being at my house and everything, we're just, you know, really good friends. Like, I was just kind of embarrassed that he would even think I would do that. And I said, you know, I was on the inside, and I said, you know, Chad came and he gassed it on me, so I gassed it out, and I said, dude, like, you came down from the outside and we hit. I said, first of all, you shouldn't even be out the outside, you know, you shouldn't even be out there. So, you know, that's going to happen. And you know, we had our words and stuff like that, and then that same night we was fine. You know, he texted me and stuff, and all that was cool and stuff, but I could tell he's probably still a little bitter about it, but, you know, I don't understand it, so.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you watch the video, and, I mean, I did, so, yeah, it's kind of like, really wasn't your deal, but that's all right. I mean, I know Red Dog used to get pissed at JT and Curry once in a while and would ban him from his track for a few weeks, so I just wanted to know if you banned him for a couple weeks or something.
Yeah, no, he's banned for a little bit. Nah.
Yeah, you're banned.
Yeah, you're banned. He can't come. You're on punishment. Go to timeout. So.
Yeah, yeah.
No, he's cool. No, I still like him, and you know what? He's a good kid and stuff. So,
why don't you go to Dade City and go race there and go check that track out?
Hey, dude, you can go down there and make like $2,000-$3,000 at Dade City racing a money class, but you got to race Vince Devane and all them.
Yeah, and Yoho. I mean, can you really beat Yoho and Devane and all these dudes? Probably not.
I don't know. Probably not on that track. I'd probably go down there and get my butt kicked, dude. Seriously.
At Lakeland, like, I don't know, sometime in the summer, Devane was handing it to JT, and of course, dude, we didn't let him forget that for a while. He couldn't stay with him for 30 minutes, but Red Dog said for the first 10-15, JT had nothing for Devane.
Dude, it's funny. Like, I mean, people think it's a joke when we laugh, and I'm like, dude, you know, I'd go down there, and I'd be more nervous going to that race than, you know, showing up to Anaheim. You know, this serious business. If I get beat at Anaheim, oh, well, but if I get beat at Dade City, it looks bad on the resume.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, no doubt about that. Hey, what were you pulling for Bradshaw or Chicken? Now, I kind of didn't really know, because you know, your favorite rider was Chicken growing up, but Bradshaw was Bradshaw, you know.
Yeah, I know. And, you know, at the end of the results show who was the best at that time and stuff, but you know, I was pulling for Chicken only because, like I said, you know, he was my hero and stuff, but, like, I didn't really care, like, whoever won, like, it was good, because I used to like Bradshaw. I used to think his Axo gear was sick when it had that yellow and red, like, the spider web stuff on the back. Uh-huh. That stuff was gnarly. And so I didn't really care, but it was kind of a boring, like, race.
Yeah.
Like, it was kind of, we was behind the scenes, so, you know, every time they come through the whoop section, you can see Bradshaw looking back and, like, waiting up for him. So it was kind of, like, cheesy.
Yeah, I think, yeah, if they had to do it over, they would get more guys or make sure that the guys were close. But, it's a cool idea, you know. But
yeah.
I was bummed that Bradshaw didn't wear that Fox gear, even the stuff that you wore that was, like, his signature stuff, but whatever.
Yeah, you know, it's supposed to be an old-school race, and they got all this new stuff on there, and I'm like, dude, like, come on.
Yeah.
But it was entertainment. I bet the 80 race is pretty good, though.
Yeah, the 80 race is always good for some some carnage. You raced that thing, that's right.
Yeah, dude, I raced that the first year. Oh, my gosh, dude, I almost killed myself. And
you didn't win. You didn't win, did you?
I got worked. But I'll take one thing, dude. I beat, I think it was, who was the guy who won? It was
Shimp.
Shimp, yeah. I worked him in the last chance qualifier, though. But then I got hurt.
Yeah.
So I ended up losing. But I came back the next year with a vengeance. I have my green Fox boots on. Jumped on a few hay belts, but I dominated that next time.
Yeah, that's right. You had like a full PC replica bike. It looked badass.
Oh, yeah, dude. I was factory coming in.
Well, good thing Shimp doesn't still race, because you're still looking for Strebos, so you'd probably still be looking for Shimp if he raced.
yeah, he got me. You know who else, like, took me out a long time ago that actually hurt my knee when I was a kid? Was Bobby Bonds, dude.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah, dude. He got me good. At many of those, dude, it was doing this Supercross. I was on an 80 stock class, dude. That guy cut me off on this jump, and it was not good. It wasn't good.
Poor Bobby. He's got his coming sometime.
Yeah, I'm okay. I'm gonna leave him alone.
You actually cost me. I don't know if you cost me a Golden Wrench, but you were one of the reasons why I didn't win a Golden Wrench. Mini O was 1999. I was working for Red Dog, but Chaparral was helping out Ryan Morris, and they sent me to the Mini O's, and you guys went at it. A 105. You were on a 105. He's on 125. And you were like the only guy to beat him all week.
Yeah, I remember I took him out on top of that hill.
Yeah,
the elevator.
Right on top of the elevator. Yeah, there was a big deal about that. Your dad came over, and I was just just working there. But I didn't win the Golden Wrench, and I can't help but think that maybe if Morris had swept every moto, I might have won the Golden Wrench. But anyway.
Well, I'm sorry, but he did beat me in
straight up. Yeah. But you were on a 105, so it's like, is it straight up? You know what I mean?
Hey, well, tell my dad that. He didn't care. He stood up on the gate. We were supposed to win. So.
Yeah. I was like, hey, cool, we beat Stewart, but he's at 80. So, you know, it's not that cool anymore, but I don't know.
Well, my bad. I give you a wrench, and I can dip it in gold.
Dip it in gold for me? Yeah, sure. That'd be cool. Maybe just take one of those, you know, that street bike you have with all the gold on it or whatever. Just take, like, a nut off of that or something.
Yeah. I can hook you up.
Hey, I was watching the Motocross the Nations the other day, and I think I was actually, like, nicer to the track than what I... That track was shitty.
Yeah.
Was it?
The track was... You know what? The track was fun. The track was fun. You know what? Like, if they would have hooked it up and, like, prepped it and stuff, it would have been fun. Like, when we got there on Saturday, like, it was okay. It was all right. You know, well, I think Saturday was a little muddy, but by the time we got to the race, it was pretty good. It was rutting and stuff. But then, like, they just flooded again. You would have swore it rained over Sunday night. You know, a lot of the ruts was, like, you know, full of water and stuff like that. And then, so, you know, we get there, and then it rains all day, and that kind of sucks. But, you know, every time, like, even, like, including the basin track, I don't know, the one we went to, it doesn't seem like a national track. Like, it doesn't seem like if you showed up at Red Butt, you're like, okay, this is a national track. Right. Or some of the tracks I've seen those guys race on, like, those seem like tracks. But these didn't seem like national tracks. And, like, it's hard because, you know, you're racing, like, on, like, it just seems like a Daytona track on both of them. It just seemed like it was racing on Daytona and stuff. And, you know, obviously I didn't think they did a great job at, you know, hooking it. I thought the track could have been a lot better, but, you know, I guess the promoters and stuff, not the promoters, but the owner of the track, I guess they get the last say-so on how to deal once, how to track his maintenance. And,
oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah.
So they were the ones who just were like, leave it alone. Don't touch it.
Yeah. 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 It wasn't the FIM or Ustream. It was the promoters of the track, and they wanted a certain way, and they got their wish, but I didn't think it was the best track ever.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I was there, and I was the same thing as you. When I first saw it on Saturday, I was like, oh, yeah, cool, right on. And then I'm like, as it went on and on, I'm like, this is actually kind of cheeseball. People were kind of following each other around, you know. I mean, you could go to the outsides, but it was a lot slower in most cases, you know.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. If they would have left, maybe, like, hooked it up and hooked some of those corners up and not been so muddy, you know, you had a belt and, like, go to the outside. But it was so muddy once they got the main line and stuff. It was just, like, not even worth it. But
I didn't think...
No, I said it was all good, though.
I didn't think you were having fun either. You look like... either because of the track or maybe some pressure on you, you were really all about business. There wasn't a whole lot of whips. There wasn't a whole lot of scrubs. There wasn't a whole lot of... you were just taking care of business, it looked like to me.
Yeah, because, like, it's just to the point where, like, you know, you have, like... I don't know when Ricky went over there, what, like, did he have the same thing? I mean, obviously he had an average and stuff, but, like, you know, everybody, you know, knew who Ricky was. But it just seems like every time I went over there, like, I was always, like... somebody's always popped up and stuff and, like, gave me a run, which is cool. It was fun and stuff.
Yeah.
But, like, being the captain of the team and stuff like that and just not really being comfortable on the track, like, I didn't feel like it was – I didn't have really a lot of fun, you know, like, doing it. Like, it was more like, all right, I need to win this so we can get the first gate pick. I need to just win this moto so we can just have the overall.
Right.
Instead of going out there and just kind of being like, all right, you know, whatever happens, it happens. Because I knew, like – you don't understand how bad I felt when I fell. Like when I fell, like, I felt like, dude, I blew it. Like, now, like, this is what I was afraid of happening and stuff, and it just wasn't that cool. But, you know, we got it done still, so that made up for it.
No, well, Tim Ferry saved the country. That's the way I love to look at it anyway. You know?
He did.
Nah.
Dirty Dog came through, and he saved it all.
I mean, he definitely helped out for sure. Dirty Dog. Why do you call him Dirty Dog?
Because he's the dirtiest rider on the track.
Oh, please, dude. He's just aggressive. He's good.
Yeah. Nah, dude, he's dirty.
Oh,
but I like it, though. I told Timmy I still owe him a takeout. He knows.
From Hangtown?
What was the other race he got me? He got me at Hangtown.
Yep.
But he got me at Mount Morris, too. Oh, yeah.
Mount
he Morris. Almost ran me off the track on the start. He was like, I didn't see you. I'm like, dude, I was halfway in front of you. And he ran me off the track. And then I tried taking him out at Southwick on the start, but he shut off.
Yeah.
And then, so I told him I owed him one. I probably just do it in practice. But
I don't think
know.
He wants anything to do with you.
So ever since then, I call him Dirty Dog. That's his name.
That's all right. He has a name for you, too, so it's all right.
What is it? What is it? Tell me now.
No, he's just like... anytime something happens, or anytime, like, you do something gnarly, or we look at an obstacle on the track together or whatever, he'll be like, Crazy Balls would jump that. That's your name, dude, Crazy Balls. He'll be like, he did you see him? He went Crazy Balls on that jump. Like, he just, like, anything that's, like, unbelievable, that's his name for you.
Crazy Balls gonna do it?
I'll be all like, right. Hey, Red, what about jumping this and this? Crazy Balls might do it, but I ain't gonna touch that, you know?
Crazy Ball and Dirty Dog.
Yeah, he's just like, I forget, one of the supercrosses. I'm like, dude, Stewie was jumping it. He's just like looking at me like, dude, are you an idiot? I would never jump that. I don't remember what it was. But
I
thought Short was the most dirty guy out there. Short or Hepler? Not Tim.
Well, they're like the smiley face assassins. Like, they'll come in and, like, it's funny because, like, I don't have a problem with either one of them.
Yeah.
Like, I like Andrew and stuff, but it's funny. Like, him and Brock, like, they, like, I talk to them and, like, they're like, hey, like, what's going on and stuff? And then next thing I know, they clean somebody out or somebody had a dude, Shorty, clean me out or Hamburger clean me out. And it's funny because, like, I was talking to Short after him and Tedesco got into it, like, after, you know, the Friday night.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, I said, you must be pretty pissed. And he's like, no, it's just part of racing and stuff. It's just part of racing. I would have done the same thing. And I'm just like, dude, like, from my understanding, he, like, cut you off and took you out. And he's like, yeah, it's part of the race. And then the next night, I was talking to Hamburger at the Yamaha track.
Yeah.
And I was like, what happened to you? He's like, oh, dude, Shorty cleaned me out. I start laughing.
You're right. They're both kind of the same. I know when I worked for Red in, like, one of the years I worked for him, first four or five Supercrosses, he cleaned Ernie out every time. And, like, I'm just like, dude, Ernie is going to shoot you. And then he might accidentally shoot me. He's like, oh, poor Ernie just got cleaned, just T-boned or taken out, thrown over the berm. I'm just like, oh, God.
Yeah, those guys that come up to you and smile and, like, you're like, man, those guys are super nice. Those are, like, the dirtiest guys. Watch out, dude.
I like the smiley face assassins.
Yep.
Hey, is there a guy like with MC, he always had problems with, like, Lewis and Voss, like, when he was lapping them? And it wasn't their fault. The dudes weren't, you know, but it just always seemed like they had magnets. Is there a guy like that for you?
I was just talking about this dude the other day. I think it's one of what's his name? I don't know. I get to him. But there was a couple of them. It was Lewis and Voss, and especially Kyle, because, dude, he would be in the way, and then, like, he would talk to me, like, after the track.
Right.
I'm like, dude, you was in the way, but, like, he'll be like, just yell, so I'll be out on the track yelling at him, and it wasn't like he didn't hear. But if somebody else, like, I'm trying to think, I think it's one of, he might be from, like, Australia or somewhere down there.
Hmm.
You'll know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I don't know.
Do you remember any of the races? Do you remember, like, in, probably not. I'm not going to waste my time.
There's always one guy like that, you know?
Yeah, no, it is. I can't even think of his name, and I know I'm bumming the show out, but I can't even think of his name right now.
Like,
it's a guy who barely makes the main event, but when he's in the main event, you know he's in the main event. I can't think of his name. He was number 70, I think he was number 79 on the Cali a couple years ago, or in 07.
Mace?
He's racing.
No.
No. He's racing the Australian Supercross, I think.
Tobin?
No, not Tobin. Dang it. Yeah.
I can't remember.
Yeah,
but
I'm sure I'll think of it. I'll let you know who it is.
So. Is that Manuel Rivas guy? No.
No. He was always cool. You just couldn't go around him in the whoops, because he would never skim the whoops. He would jump him. Yeah.
You're like, okay, I'm just gonna let you go here, dude.
I'm bummed right now. I wanna call him out.
So next year, your plans are, from what I understand, you're gonna be doing some American outdoor nationals. Is that?
Yep.
That's the plan.
Yep.
And
yeah,
I'm sure right now the National Promoters Group would love if you would just outline which ones those would be.
Well, like, you know, we can just get it straight. I mean, point blank, like, I'm not. You know, it's one of those things, like, I'm not 100% sure exactly what's going on, like, whether, you know, we race them or not. You know, I don't think we are, but, you know, I know we're going to race a few of them. But point blank, like, what people need to understand is as simple as this. Like, Kawasaki didn't offer me a ride, so it wasn't like I could stay there. And then, like, you know, I had an offer from, you know, it was actually Suzuki. Had an offer from Suzuki and stuff, and obviously, you know, what's going down with the Chad Reed situation, huh? Mm-hmm. All that stuff and how that fell through. And then Larry, you know, but my whole thing, I wanted to go with Larry because I knew he was a teammate, and I wanted to ride Yamahas because I knew how Chad bike worked and stuff like that.
Right.
And, like, everything was looking good and stuff like that was going through the future. But then, like, when you get, like, an offer to do A, you know, and it was, like, Supercross only, and then to be able to do some outside events, and then you get an offer to do both, you know, you're like, okay, like, well, why is this a lot better?
Mm-hmm.
You know, why is this a lot better? And, like, I didn't understand. And then, so, like, I just went ahead and did the A, and I did it with Larry's team and all that. And like I said, you know, for obvious reasons and stuff,
yep.
Everything was a lot better and everything. And then, but people need to understand, like, it's not like I don't want to race outdoors. Shoot, if Larry Brooks called me tomorrow and said, hey, we're racing outdoors, I'd be stoked. I'd be like a kid in a candy store. But,
yeah.
You know, that's not a part of his plan. That's not part of Sam Howell's plan. That's not part of, you know, the whole plan. So, you know, I have to do what my boss tells me to do. So, you know, if you get mad at me all you want, but it's not like I don't want to race, you know. Oh, well, you know, I can't help that the way the sport is, you know, times are rough, and, you know, people have to do what have to do. Otherwise, if I would have been still waiting on Cali, I wouldn't have a job right now. So.
Yeah. No, I've written it in my columns and on the Internet. I don't blame the riders one bit. Hey, it's the teams and it's the way the sport is going. You know what I mean? If somebody offered me the same amount of money to do half the work, I probably would take it. And it's not even that. It's just your team's not going. So,
yeah.
You know, I don't begrudge you guys at all. Anybody who doesn't want to do the Nationals, I hope we see at some of them. But, I mean, hey, whatever. But
yeah, no, trust me, like, dude, trust me, I want to do them. And, like, dude, I don't see how I would sit home, you know, half the season, do anything. That's why I said, you know, I won't, like, we'll be able to do some, and then I plan on going over to Europe and stuff and doing that. But, like,
yeah.
Like I said, you know, you can be mad at me all you want, but like I said, you know, I didn't have an option. And like I said, you know, you should blame other people and not me. So, yeah.
Hey, the way I look at it, Timmy Ferry is going to win the title now, so fine, stay home.
Yeah, dirty dog going all the way.
I don't know about that, but it's one more spot for the big 1-5, so just,
yeah.
Just stay home, bro.
Hey, tell him, man, he can get a single digit now, so come on.
No, I mean, I think it'll be great. I think the series would definitely benefit from you lining up, but hey, whatever. So
yeah, no,
the GP, yeah. Do you think the GP thing might happen? That's something I heard when I was over there. Can you clarify that at all?
Yeah, like it's one of those things, like, where we can do a few events, and, like, obviously, I want to do some of the Nationals because I'm American. I want to be here. I want to support our sport any way I can. And then, like, you know, it was one, like, doing the GPs. It was like, you know, we can go over there and get some great TV coverage and be one of those races that, hell, maybe I could get my butt kicked, or maybe I'll go over there and win. But then, like, then I can do it instead of just having to come over through the Motocross the Nations. Because Motocross the Nations is so much pressure. You have to do it so much.
Yeah.
Like, I would just like to go over there and race those guys and just say, hey, you know, this is a normal weekend. I'm going to go over there and race like I would over here.
Yeah.
And so, like I can't confirm for sure we're doing it, but there's a good possibility that we will.
Yeah.
Especially if we don't end up racing the whole series. You know, we will do it. So.
And you'll do X Games?
Yeah. Talking about doing both of them, but I heard one was in Dubai, I guess.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah. Coming up. The one in Dubai is, well, I guess it's next year too, but even, I think the one in Dubai is like next month or something.
Yeah, well, I know for sure we ain't doing that one then. Sure ain't doing that, but yeah, I was going to do the X Games and stuff and, you know, go around and do like a little world tour, stuff like that. But, you know, who knows and stuff. Maybe how Supercross season goes and, you know, maybe if things change, maybe I will be racing outdoors, but I don't know.
What do you think about, like, the message boards and the media and all that? You think you get a fair shake? You happy with all that? Do you read them much? Do you?
Well, yeah, I mean, I read some of it and stuff, but, like, I care what people say, you know, but then when I hear the Supercross only and then people calling me a punk and all that, you know, like I said, you know, it was like one of those things, well, either race it or sit home and do nothing, you know, and, like, quit.
Yeah, retire.
I mean, basically, that's the basis of my choices and stuff, and, like, I'm not going to do that. And, you know, it just kind of bugs me out when people get the misunderstanding, you know, like I wanted to do it. You know, I didn't want to do, you know, that. Like, obviously, I just came off for, you know, crushing everything in outdoor season. I like to go 48-0, but I can't do it, you know, and, you know, wasn't my decision. So, you know, on that part, you know, it kind of, like, I just say whatever. Like, I can't please everybody, but some of this stuff, like, it bums me out a little bit, but I've been pretty good at it. Like, I don't really lose too much sleep about it.
Good. Yeah, that's good. What about the magazines and all that? You get along with everybody? Everything's good with you?
Yeah, no, I get along with everybody. Yep. I think a lot of people, you probably can, you know, specify a little bit more. Like, I get along with a lot of the media people better, and, like, I just kind of really enjoy myself, like, just doing this, you know, podcast, you know. Like, I just wanted to do it because I wanted, like, to show you, like, hey, I'm a man of my word. Like, I'll do it. And, like, even, like, the small stuff, you know, like, I'll do that too. And, you know, like I said, you know, I think any time I can, you know, help out, like, oh, well. And plus, you don't know how excited, like, I was pumped to actually be on it. Because I felt like, no, and, like, seriously, because, like I said, you know, doing it with you, like, you're a different character, like, in a good way. And, like, I was really looking forward to, like, doing it and stuff, so
yeah.
I don't really care. I like it. I don't care.
This kind of leads me to my next question, is that, I mean, I've been around the Cowie truck for a couple years, and then I've been around the before Red Dog was there. You seem a lot happier in the last few years. I mean, is it just because you're winning, or is it, I mean, honestly, you kind of walked, like, you know, when you first got in the 250 class, I don't know if it's the pressure or just the fact that you were crashing out sometimes. You just seem happier now.
Well, yeah, because
I guess you're getting older too. You're getting a little older, more, you know, you're getting growing up a little bit, but
Yeah, and like I say that too. Like I'm like, man, I'm like, I'm getting older, but dude, every time I think about it, like I'm 22 years old. I'm not that damn old.
No.
And then I go and I was thinking about, you know, just the past and stuff, and like, you know, I just felt like in the past, you know, I just said some stuff I probably shouldn't have said, and like it was more because I came off like ever since I've been racing, like I've always won. Like I mean, from Pee-wees to 60s to, you know, even when I first got into, you know, 125 class, like I always won. Mm-hmm. So like I didn't know anything different. So like when I came into 250 class, I just thought it was going to be another like, all right, like I'll just win this class. And then when Ricky came in, and like it was no slouch to Ricky or nothing. I just never raced the guy. And like,
yeah,
you know, and
all you know is winning. All you know is winning. That's it.
Yeah. And then being on the 125, being closer to the lap times, dude, I got fooled on that crap. Like, I mean, dude, I was like, look at this, dude. Like, I'm just as fast. And, you know, so, and like, I got fooled on that. And then I remember, like, dude, seeing Ricky come out of Anaheim 1 in that heat race and just said, oh my gosh, dude, this guy is killing it right now. And like, and so I was like, all right, well, all right, I got to pick it up. And
you're like, do I have to race that guy right there? Is he in my car?
I did. Like, and I crashed. And then I got hurt at Phoenix
right.
and stuff like that. And then I came back and then rode really good in Orlando. But I remember still sitting in that heat race and like, oh, my gosh, Chad Reed and Ricky Carmichael are too fast. Like, there's no way I can run with these guys. And it came out, led the race, and I won. And then when we got to outdoors, dude, like, I got worked.
Yeah.
And, like, I got worked. And I tell you, like, and, like, I'm not even lying right now. If I had to ride that 250 again, I'll quit racing. Like, that thing, it was the scariest motorcycle I've ever ridden in my life. And like, even the guys on the team, like, we'll joke around with it and stuff. Like, I'm like, dude, I'm serious. I'll quit racing if I had to ride that thing again. You know, the 125 was awesome. The 450 was cool, but not that thing. And then, you know, then I got work from that one. And then I came through the next year, and then I did all right. I won the World Supercross Championship, and then if they would have never gave Ricky his points back, I would have been AMA Supercross champion too. So that would have been nice.
Yep.
And then I was riding good in the beginning part of 06 in the outdoor season. Then I crashed and it just went downhill from that. And then everything changed when I got hurt. Everything changed. Because then I like start like, you know what? Like, I like racing. Like, I love racing. Like, it's fun to me. And it was like to the point where I got so caught up into it. And it was just like anything, going to another race. It's like people who go to 9-to-5 jobs. You go there and you're just like, all right, dude, this is a job. Like, all right, I got to do it. Like, hey, what's up? I got to do it. And everybody gets caught in that. And then it gets taken away from you or you get fired or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you realize, like, all right, you know, like, I do love this. And, you know, I get paid to do what I love to do. And, like, that's when I really just started, like, having fun at it. Like, I was like, you know what? I can't go any farther down than what I've already been, you know, in my mm-hmm. career. So I just want to, you know, have fun with it. And I think, you know, with the help at Eldon and stuff like that, I knew my program was 100% solid. And I just think everything started clicking. And now, I don't really care. Like, I just go out and have fun. You know, it's just, you know, it is what it is. If I lose, I lose. If I win, I win. But, you know, I've done enough in my career that I'm happy about. And, you know, I've won every title. I've won everything possible you can win except for a world GP or world championship. I'd like to do that one day.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, and that's it.
I think that's a great attitude. I do think that even when you were winning back then in the 250 class, like at Dallas or Orlando, sure you were happy, but it just seemed like you had a lot of pressure on you. You know what I mean? I don't know. Maybe I'm just drunk. I could be drunk. You know, that's all. But
no, it was
yeah.
Because like even like when I won, like it was always like, and like I've always said this, like, and like I'm not making excuses. Like I just felt like Ricky beat me in a lot of races. He just beat me.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt like when I lost, it was a lot bigger deal than when he lost. When Ricky beat me, it was like, dude, like, man, Ricky crushed James. But when I beat Ricky, it was like, oh, yeah, well, he's supposed to win. And, like, it, like, almost took the fun out of it. Like, it was, like, one of those things, like, dude, like, how you win, but you're already expected to win. So, like, how can you go, like, if you go doing the Roger Federer and drop on your knees and throw your hands up and celebrate and win, it was like you were supposed to do that. So, like, get up, you know?
Yeah.
And it got to the point where, like, that, where, like, now when I win, like, I actually enjoy it. Like, I was like, dude, I just won a race. I'm stoked.
What was the first time that you really realized, hey, I can beat these guys straight up?
I think at Orlando when I was winning, and, like, I just remember, like, coming off the gate and, like, you know, getting a good start. I think I might have been up front. And, like, dude, I just went wide open for, like, 8 laps. and I was exhausted. Mm-hmm. And I just remember, like, pulling away from them guys, and I thought, seriously, like, I didn't know, you know, I thought they was just, you know, hanging back and, like, waiting for me to wear out and stuff like that. And then I saw Chad and Ricky battling and stuff like that, and I think Ricky ended up going down. But I think that was the first time I actually, like, knew, like, all right, I got the speed to do it. I just got to stay up. And then the next week at Dallas, I won my first ever race, and you know, that was mm-hmm. special. But I think it was at that race. But, I mean, I for sure thought, man, like, dude, these guys are going to work me, because I watching them in that heat race and Chad doing his little patented little scrub thing or whatever he calls it, the turndown, like, mm-hmm. I was like, oh, man, like, he's on it, so.
Ricky was the one that had won all the races in a weird sort of way. And I think RC went through that with McGrath, the same deal. McGrath was loved. And then when Ricky came up and started handing it to him, you know, nobody liked Ricky. Not nobody, but people didn't start liking Ricky. Do you think that maybe that was part of the deal? It was just the fact that you were the new kid? I mean, or do you really think that, like, Ricky had more fans than you? Or what was the deal?
I don't believe it's that. You know, I think, obviously, you know, I think I ran my mouth a little bit. I think that, you know, started it first. But, you know, like I said, you know, being a kid, like, coming in at 18 and, like, racing that, like, I didn't know any better. And, like, I'll be the first to admit, like, some of the stuff I used to say, dude, like, I go back now and I'm like, oh, my gosh, like, look at that cocky dude. And, like, I never, like, I never said it to, like, be, like, cocky. Like, I always thought it was funny. Like, to me, when I, like, said stuff, I always thought it was funny. So, I think, you know, when it coming in and, like, you know, when it all started is when I went to Thursday Glen Helen practice right before the National, Sacramento National, mm-hmm. and David Villeman, dude, was all over me. Like, I remember him actually passing me, going up hills and stuff like that. And, like, right then I knew when I was riding that two-stroke against those 450, I was like, dude, like, I'm in trouble. And I said, you know, obviously Villeman's a good rider, but, yeah. You know, we all knew, like, him and Ricky was a different category. And so I went to the first race, like, freaking myself out already knowing that. And then I fell in the first corner, and then I fell, like, two other times during that race. And, like, I remember, like, thought I was on it, dude. And, like, I think I was, like, 7-8 seconds a lap slower than he was. Mm-hmm. And, like, it freaked me out. And then the next motor, like, I just wore myself out. And I think everything just started transitioning from that, you know, not really, you know, being shocked, like, almost in shock, you know, like, getting beat like that. And then going to the next race and getting beat and just going and going. And then finally, I think I just made myself sick. I just, like, you know, finally stressed myself out and, mm-hmm. you know, freaked out. But it was just tough. And like I said earlier, you know, like, I was expected to win. And, you know, I just felt like at that point, you know, it wasn't fair. And, like, I expected myself to win. Everybody expected me to win. And, like, when you don't, like, you feel like a failure. And it's just, like, you know, just compiles on, you know.
You know, a lot of people went to the gate for many years looking at Ricky, already admitting that they're not going to win. And you were probably very, very resistant to that. You know what I mean? I mean, it probably got you to the point where you're just like, I don't want to be on the gate knowing I can't win. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it was. I mean, it was. I'll admit it. Like, in that season, I got to the point where it was, like, pretty much, like, dude, like, I'm not going to win. And, like, it sucked. Like, my thing was, like, I'm not like everybody else. Like, to be honest, like, dude, I'd rather not race than get beat. Like, if I ever started getting beat, I'll quit racing in a heartbeat. Like, that's just not me. Like, I don't like losing. Like, I can't mm-hmm. stand it. And, like, that was taking a lot out of me. And, like, you know, what he did to me that year, like, to me, was, like, it was a big wake-up call. But it also, like, you know, made me realize, you know, like, all right, you know, I have a lot of work to do. Like, I have a lot of work. And, you know, I granted for sure, like, you know, there was things definitely not in my favor. But I believe everything happens for a reason and stuff. And, you know, I think it was good. And, you know, I just remember going to Unadilla, and when I landed on him, I just remember thinking, like, dude, like, I have to pass this guy back right now, because I've led this whole race. There's only, like, three laps left. Mm-hmm. And if he just beats me now, like, I might as well just pull off and, like, don't even race. And
yeah.
I remember coming down that hill and was going to square him up and pass him. Like, I passed Ryan Hughes, Mike Brown, all these other dudes in years past. And, you know, he just kind of checked up and went down the inside. And that was... we all know that story, so.
Yeah, that was actually leading into my next question. That's fun. Like, how was your relationship with him in those volatile times, around that crash at Unadilla and around that time when you guys were going at it. I mean, how was your relationship? I mean, you guys are Fox athletes together, I imagine. You know, you're both from Florida. Like, was there much said to each other during a week? Was there any angry phone calls? I mean,
no, I actually called Ricky, and I told him, you know, you know, like, I didn't mean that, you know, and obviously, you know, I mean, he's a weird guy. Like, you know, he would say, like, yeah, like, no problem, and, you know, next thing I know, I'll hear something else. But because it was when that whole, you know, everything kind of got split up. We was actually Fox teammates and stuff, and then, you know, I remember I got Chris Beaker, you know, was on my side, and then Scott Taylor was on that side, and although we was on the same team, we wasn't on the same team.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the whole thing happened at Buzz Creek when, you know, I was riding, and, you know, he almost cleaned me out in the back, mm-hmm. and then I came up and cleaned him out in front of everybody, you know, stuffed him in front of everybody, and it made me look bad because nobody else knew what happened in the back. So, you know, it was just kind of like a weird thing. And then, you know, obviously when you're losing, you know, everybody kind of looks at it like, look, he's just getting frustrated now. You know, he's just trying to clean everybody out. But, you know, it was never like that. I mean, I knew at that year, like, I didn't have anything for Ricky. I was just trying to get him a race. And, you know, unfortunately, it just didn't work out. But I know for sure, like, when I came in 06, man, like, I was like, all right, I'm going to beat him this year. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't care. And then, like, that's how it was. And then I beat him at the first race, and then I was winning that second one. And then, dude, it just went down the tubes from there.
Yeah.
Just over. But I don't know if I could have beat him for a whole series like that, because, I mean, I was giving it all. But
Both of you were, though. It was pretty amazing.
Yeah, and that was a cool thing. Like, I remember he crashed a few times in practice at Mount Morris, coming down that stair step. Mm-hmm. And, like, we both was on the edge, so it was just a matter of time who was going to crack first. Obviously, when I went down after that finish line,
drop down,
like, that was it. That was my whole season out there.
the thing with Ricky, and he's always had this amazing ability, is that dude can crash just like what you did on that drop down and get up from it. I've seen that guy eat shit so many times and get up when he should have been dead. I don't know what it is, but he's always had that ability. You know, he's had some horrendous crashes too.
Yeah, no, and I know, and I think that's all from, like, the training part of it, because, mm-hmm. you know, like, I done had some crashes, even, like, sometimes this year, you know, where I had some crashes that, like, I say, dude, like, there is no way I should have been up for that, or, you know, like, brush it off, and you get right back up, and I think it's just all training and stuff, and, you know, it's like anything, like, I mean, I took some crashes, too, where I've been like, dude, like, I should have died, and then, like, I get up, or even that crash at Mount Morris, like, I just bruised my knee, you know, it was, like, really nothing else to it, it just bruised my knee, and, like, you know, you know how you get lucky on that stuff, and, you know, just the more you train, I feel like the luckier you get, and, you know, I had some things that happened this year that I said, man, like, I was pretty lucky on that, but, you know, I think you make your own luck on stuff.
That's an interesting theory, I never thought about that. It's a good one, though, you're right, yeah. What was
You know, some practice. You know, people just say, you know, I'm all right, but I don't want to get up. I don't want to get up. There's no need to finish this race.
Well, what was the worst crash, Mount Morris or Southwick?
I would say Mount Morris. Really? Southwick wasn't bad. That was, like, one of those things that, you know, like, it hurt, but, like, it wasn't too bad. But
yeah.
Mount Morris is probably one of the scariest crashes I've ever had in my life.
Yeah.
I just remember, like, even struggling going down that thing, and every time I think about it, like, I'm just like, dude, that was a bad crash, because I fell from a long way and got smashed.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like I said, still to get up, not anything broken, not really, like, just had a bone bruise, and, you know, those things hurt, but, like, that was it. Like, that was the only, like, cause of that whole deal. And then when I went back to Southwick the next weekend, like, I just re-injured again, and I was like, man, I just need to take some time off now.
You're like, I'm out.
Yeah, I'm done now. I'm over.
The Southwick one was fast, though. You were hauling ass.
Yeah, so. No, Southwick was bad, but, like, I don't know. Like, that one wasn't too bad. Like, I had a couple of them, but I would say Mount Morris was probably the worst one. And there was another one that we was actually talking about that at the test track the other day. Like, there was another one I had that was pretty scary. Like, the Vegas one wasn't bad because I don't even remember that one.
Right.
So that one wasn't too bad. I still remember Mount Morris.
You remember coming off that thing and going, oh, shit, I didn't get the lift.
Yeah, dude, it was like when I got crossed, I knew it. Like, as soon as I was gassing it and it wasn't going there, I just remember going and just looking at the little shadow that was down in that pit right there, and then mm-hmm. that was it. Next thing I know, I woke up in the hospital. That's That's the next time I remember that whole deal.
Yeah, jeez. What's your favorite national track?
I'd probably say like Red Blood. Red Blood now is probably my number one favorite, just because like I like it. It got rough this year. It was pretty rough, and you know they always take care of it. But that one in Bud's Creek is pretty close, and I actually liked that Texas track. It wasn't too bad.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's an interesting one to list. Not too many people wouldn't make their list for a lot of guys. So.
Yeah, I used to like Unadilla a lot, but now, dude, that's I don't know. If I didn't have that perfect season going, I'd probably stuck to my promises.
Yeah, yeah. So if you're not going to be there next summer at all of them, who's looking good? What do you think? What's going to take your crown?
Well, I like to see Dirty Dog do it. Mm-hmm. I like to see him.
Me too.
Get up.
Me too.
Yeah, Dirty Dog. I don't know. Like, I mean, to be honest, like, I don't really like the idea of me just kind of letting it go like that. Like, you never know. I might have to show up, and maybe I'll have to run the privateer thing, just put my bike in the back of the truck and just go park out in the outfield and just come up and be the babyface assassin, the dude that's in the background. I don't know, but I see, you know, Shorty giving them. But also, I think Alessi's going to be pretty tough to beat, and obviously Ryan and stuff, Villapoto, like, he'll be pretty good. But, I just think Alessi's, if you ride like he did this year, I don't see anybody beating him.
You know, I think Ryan's going to struggle a little bit like everybody does, you know? I just don't think it's going to be... Well, a lot of people I talk to in the media are already handing him over the crown, and Ryan's a great rider, but you just never know. It's a different deal, you know?
Yeah, you never know, and, like, I don't know. I mean, hopefully he does better than, you know, we did and stuff like that, and, you know, me, Ricky, and everybody. I mean, everybody struggles and stuff, and, you know, I don't know. It's just a matter of time before you get in, and it's that first hit that gets you. It's that first time you crash that gets you, or that first time, you know, you get passed by somebody, like, you know, somebody actually just comes up and straight beats you, you know. And even in lights class, you know, Ryan has some good rides, you know, Dungy, but it was never like, all right, let's race 101, first and second out the first corner, and just got beat, you know what I'm saying? And until you get beat like that, it's kind of hard, and then, you know, it just depends how he recovers from that.
Yeah, that's funny. That's interesting to talk to you, and it's a lot of it's mental, isn't it? It's just how you get up from that crash, how you let somebody beat you, huh?
Yeah, dude, I mean, it is, and, you know, you only know that when you've been beat, you know, like when you get beat, and, you know, everything's good on top, you know, dude, everybody loves you, you know, the fans love you, you know, sponsors love you and stuff, and then when you get beat, people start raising eyebrows and stuff, and it just depends how you come around from that. Like, it's all up to the rider and stuff. And, you know, I know for sure, like, and I know Chad, you know, for sure, it's like, it's one of those things, you know, you have your program and you have it set. And, you know, it's like, I feel like my program, and if I come in like I normally do, like, it'd be hard to beat me. But that's just my mentality.
Yep.
You know, I've been around, and, like, I know how to win, you know, obviously. And, you know, you got to figure it out.
Yeah, he's sitting there right now saying the same thing. So that's what makes it, you know, so interesting.
Yeah, no, it's gonna be a great season. It's definitely gonna be a great season. But
can you race him clean? Can you,
Chad?
Can you race him clean?
No, I mean, he said I don't have any respect for him and stuff like that. I thought that was kind of funny, because if I didn't have any respect for him, he would have been sitting up in the stands already. You know, I try to have, you know, I don't really like try to, you know, do anything too crazy and stuff unless, you know, he asks for it and stuff. But, you know, I know how it goes. And, you know, he's one of the guys that, you know, when you come in the corners, you got to look around and, you know, look back. And he would say the same thing about me. And I guess we just don't get along. And, like, at this point, like, I don't really care if we don't either. So,
yeah,
you know, it is what it is. Like, I try to be cool and all that. But, you know, it is what it is. You know, if he wants to race like that, cool, let's do it. Like I said, you know, I try to give him, you know, time and stuff. And, you know, when I came in on him at what's the name, like, I leave it clean and stuff. And, you know, it's cool. I like racing aggressive and stuff. And, you know, you just know where your place is with him.
You got a feel for him a little bit. You know, Windham and Shorty also aren't going to do him any favors out on the track. So, and I kind of think that sometimes he lets and I've told him this too, so it's not like I'm burning him here. I kind of feel like he says things to the media and for the fun of it, and doesn't really think like the implications of it. You know what I mean?
Well,
I don't know. Just like the whole thing about you riding the Yamaha sooner than you said you were, and to be honest, I think you probably were, but he didn't need to say that. You know what I mean? Well, it's just little things like that. He likes that shit, though. He likes it.
Well, I it's just the person and stuff. You know, the way I take it, it's just already making an excuse before he gets there. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah.
You know, I know for sure that I wasn't riding it before, especially as long as he said it was. I mean, he said I was riding it longer than he has and stuff like that. Like, I mean, my thing is, dude, I hopped on that thing and still came out and still won the first race. And, I don't really, like, at that point, like, when I heard that, I kind of, like, laughed and stuff. I was like, all right, that's cool because, you know, he's already set himself up for that. So.
Well, that's good. I was thinking that you would be pissed, but if you just laughed about it, then that's good.
No, like, the old James would be pissed. And like I said, you know, the old James would be like, dude, like, all right, look, let me clean him out. You know what I'm saying?
But, yeah.
You know, at this point, like I said, it doesn't, like, what he says and what anybody else says, it doesn't bother me. Because, like, I know what the truth is. Like I said about the outdoors, I know what the truth is. I want to race them, but I can't. You know, same thing about Chad. If he thinks I've been racing on that thing for 3 months, well, that's his thinking. Like, that's cool. Like, it's, you know, it's like buttholes. Everybody has one. Everybody has an opinion. So it's just, it is what it is. And like I said, if he sets himself up for that, that's cool. It just makes my job easier.
And I want to ask you a question about, like, how do you... Dude, like, you're James Stewart. You're this bazillionaire rock star motocross rider, and I've seen what it is at the races. And amazingly enough, like, you guys, I mean, you're treated just like a rock star at the races. I mean, you literally cannot walk from your motorhome to the semi truck. If you walk from the lounge to the back of the semi, people scream your name when they see you in the doorway. It's crazy. How do you deal with that? How do you deal with everybody wanting your time all the time?
Well, I guess, like, on the rock star part, first of all, I'm not a rock star.
No,
I'm James Stewart. I know, but, like, I'm not saying that you're calling me a rock star. Like, I'm just saying who I am and this I deal with. I'm not a rock star. I'm James Stewart. I live in Haines City, Florida, dude, which is in the middle of nowhere. I ride motorcycles. I get paid to ride motorcycles is what I love to do. And, like, it is tough, like, sometimes I wish I could spend more time with the fans and stuff, but just like at the race at U.S. Open, like, I was like, dude, I got to get some food. So, man, I walked out the back of the semi, and, dude, I got swarmed and stuff like that. But it was cool. Like, it was cool because, like, I guess at certain situations, like, it kind of, like, sucks at some points, like, when you're trying to get somewhere. But I guess I'd rather have it that way than be able to walk through the pits and nobody even, like, know who I am and stuff. Like, I think it's cool, but... I don't look at it as, like, I'm a rock star. Like, sometimes I don't understand, and sometimes I actually take it for granted because I don't understand why people come up to me. Like, I just feel like I ride a motorcycle. And when I watch myself ride a motorcycle, like, I'm like, dude, like, it's not all that. Like, I'm not all that, you know. It's not like I'm doing something that's crazy, but the way other people see it, it's like, dude, it's like, oh, my gosh. But it's cool. Like, I don't mind it.
It's got to be a lot on your time. I mean, even during the week and during at the races, I mean, it's got to be hard to do it. It's got to be hard to balance it and juggle it, you know?
Yeah, but, like, I juggle, like, it's funny. Like, I juggle my, like, schedule pretty good. Like, when I'm at the races, it's always, like, going and going and going and going. When I'm at home, dude, I do nothing. Like, I train, I get up, I train, I ride my motorcycle, I brush my teeth, I eat food, and, like, that's it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't bowl. I don't do nothing else. Maybe I'll go golfing every once in a while, but that's it. And, like, I guess my life is so completely opposite at my house that it doesn't bother me at the races. Like, I don't like doing anything. I'd rather just come inside and just sit on the couch all day long and do nothing.
Your phone must blow up, though, I'm sure.
Yeah, but I'm not the best at answering. You probably know that. So.
Yeah, no, hey, you called me when you said you were going to call me. That's pretty good. Yeah.
Normally when I say I'm going to call, I call, but if you like if you call my phone and say, hey, it's Steve Mathis here, I just want to see what's going on, you're not getting a phone call back, so don't leave. But if you say, hey, call me back, I need something, I'll call you right back. So,
yeah.
I don't like people that call on my phone and just say, hey, what's going on?
Yeah.
I mean, you don't want anything, it's not important, I do not have to call you back. So,
you're like, dude, I got a lot of friends, I can tell them what's going on.
Yeah, exactly. You want to know what's going on? Then come over to the house.
Yeah. How often have you changed your number, your cell phone number?
Not too bad. Like, it's, I don't really change it too much. Like, you know, I had kids, like, get numbers from, you know, other kids and stuff and, like, you know, calling me. Like, I had this kid that called me, I think it was a few weeks ago, that said, can you train me and stuff like that? And, you know,
can you train me?
Yeah, I get that all the time. You know, can you train me? And he was telling me about his life story and stuff. And I just said, hey, kid, pin it. You know, go to school, pin it, and then just have fun. And, like, that's my words in person. And, like, he was like, all right, like, thank you. I'll see you at the U.S. Open. Like, now we're, like, buds. Like, we're, like, buds. But I'm like, how'd you get my number? And he goes, well, I got my number through so-and-so that you met over here. His friend gave it.
Oh,
like,
man.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
It's all good. Like, the easiest way for me is just not to answer the phone. So,
yeah.
You know, basically, you get tired of calling.
Even Dirty Dog has to change his number, even, you know, once a year or something.
Yeah, Dirty Dog over there. I told him he can come over to my house and ride.
Dude, I don't know why you got... both of you, I don't know you very well, but I asked Timmy, why don't you go ride with Stewie? I don't know. Has he ever asked you? No. Have you ever asked him? No. Well, why don't you ask him? I don't know. Like, it's so weird. And then I think I asked Williamson one time, how come James doesn't want to ride with Timmy, or how come they don't ride together? I don't know. James says he doesn't call him. And I'm like, well, Timmy says that he doesn't call him. Like, both of you guys are idiots. Like,
yeah, we are. But it's funny. It's just like, you know, it's like you get in a fight with your girlfriend. Like, you're not going to call her, but she ain't going to call you either. So you're just not going to talk.
Yeah.
And you just talk about doing it. So it just goes on. And it was weird because, like, I asked Timmy, like, at the Motocross of Nations. It was our last race together as a teammate. Mm-hmm. And I said, hey, why don't you come ride at my house now? Like, after the whole time we've been teammates, like, it was never to the point where you come ride and stuff like
that's
that.
Funny.
But now, you know, he can come over and ride and stuff. But I don't know. It was a weird situation. Like, it was a lot that went on behind the scenes and stuff that was kind of, like, weird on the team and stuff. That's probably why it didn't happen. But, you know, I like Dirty Dog. He's a good guy.
Yeah, he doesn't like to venture too far outside of Dade City. But, and also, well, he rides with Chad once in a while, so who knows how that goes. I mean, you guys all have your little deals going on, you know. For a while, JT was riding with Tortelli, and Timmy didn't like Tortelli, so JT was banned from Timmy's house for a little while, and then Tortelli moved, and JT was back in, and then when Chad and Timmy got in a big fight, JT had to choose, and then he chose Timmy, and then Chad was mad. It's like days of our lives.
Well, I think that's how it goes, too. You know, we're like stubborn, too. Like, we're like jealous chicks.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you cannot go over her house. And you come over my house at the same time. So, like, when, like, I knew Timmy rode with Chad, so it was like, it wasn't like, all right, if you're going to ride with him, you can't come over my house because you might tell him my dirt's better.
Right.
You might go buy my dirt, and then he's going to have an advantage. You know? I don't know. We're all punks.
No. Yeah, I'm not blaming you. I'm not. It's just you guys. I know how it is at that level. You know what I mean? It's just, JT somehow pulls off riding at everybody's house, but besides that, you know, just... Just because it's JT, he's Vince Devane is handing it to him, so. No, but it would be great. I mean, yeah, he.
Well, I'm glad this conversation is just between me and you, I guess, huh?
Yeah, exactly. It'll never see the light of day. What about Chisholm and Dungy as riding buddies? Do you ever feel like, man, I'm just pulling these guys around? I wish I had somebody closer to my speed, or, I mean, how's that work out?
Well, Chisholm and Dungy actually really got into it a lot, and, like, it was awesome because, like they would almost fight, like, at my house, and, like, I was that kid that, you know, was, like, never got in a fight, but always pushed somebody so the other two people would fight, you know. I was, like, keep on the scene. So, like, you know, like, Kyle and Dungy, we would have, like, these sprints at the house and stuff, and, like, I'll let Kyle go first, and then Dungy, and then sometimes Dungy wouldn't catch him. Like, Kyle would ride good. And then, so I would come in and be like, dude, like, oh my gosh, you letting Chisholm beat you? Like, dude, you're talking about his Villopoto? Like, seriously? Come on, dude. And, like, he would get so pissed that every time Kyle would, like, you know, be in front of him, like, Dungy would just try to clean him out. Like, he would try to clean him out.
Yeah.
And it got to the point where we had to sit down and have a talk. But, like, every once in a while, like, I would say, all right, Dungy, why don't you go first since Kyle's faster than you are?
Oh,
and then he would lose it, dude. It was so funny. And like, it was just like funny games and stuff, but he would lose it. And he almost, like, I can remember like one time he almost landed on Kyle and tried cleaning him out. And then Kyle comes in and like, he's like, what is his problem? I'm like, dude, I don't know. Why don't you go talk to him? I would go over the dungeon. I'm like, dude, Kyle's talking crap on you right now, dude. He's telling you work. And they would just get into it. It was fun. It was awesome.
You're the puppet master, dude. You're pulling the strings.
Oh, dude, I'm pulling them tough.
Oh, that's funny. You're back there riding, going, oh, this is great. They're gonna clean each other out right now.
I was sitting back because, like, I mean, it was on my program. So at some points, like, I was like, dude, I have to go because, you know, the heart rate's coming down. Like, I gotta keep it up because I was sitting there and laughing. Like, it was comedy back there, just like watching them try to clean each other out, and it was funny though.
Do you make them work on your track?
No, because like my dad likes doing that. Like,
oh yeah.
His thing is like he doesn't like you to ask him to water the track, but don't tell him not to water the track. Like, it's like a weird thing. Like, he likes to do it when he wants, and if you say don't water the track, he's gonna flood the track. And if he says go water, he's just gonna be like, well, what do you, I look like a maid to you guys? Like, what's up? So he really enjoys working on the track and stuff. And like, you know, I just tell those guys like, just come ride, and you know, we'll pay for the track when it needs to get redone. But like, that's it.
That's cool. Actually, I think Chisholm's gonna do pretty good this year. I've always thought that guy had some talent, you know. And I don't know. He just I mean, he'd be dumb not to just look at you and go, okay, this is what I need to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I think he'll be good. I think he'll surprise some people and stuff. And you know, he's a good rider. I mean, at the end of the outdoor season, I mean, he was top five. You know, mm-hmm. He was doing good and stuff like that. And I guess, you know, it's like anything. It could be a diamond in the rough, or it could be just nothing. And you know, at least he can say he had his opportunity. At least, you know, L&M gave him an opportunity and stuff. And I think he'll be good. Like, and the thing, the cool part of Larry mentioned to me and stuff, like, I was like, well, yeah, like, are you kidding me? Like, yeah, I think that'd be awesome as a teammate. But Kyle ended up getting his job himself. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, he went out there and rode in front of those guys, and, you know, he ended up getting the job, you know, so it's his deal, not mine.
Yeah, it's a funny story, actually. Brooks called, we were talking about, I think I did one of these with him, and he asked me, hey, who do you think, like, what do you, I want to hire a young rider for teammate, and what are you thinking? And I said, well, I don't know. I'm like, I gave him like Davalos, and
yep.
I said Chisholm, Davalos. I said Troy Adams. You know, I threw out some names, and he's like, Chisholm, really? I'm like, yeah. He's too big for the bike he's on, and you know, he rode with Red Dog for a while, and Timmy was like, yeah, he's a pretty good rider, you know.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's cool that he's getting that shot, you know.
Yeah, and it's funny because like when Larry called me and asked me about Kyle. He was like, hey, what do you think about Kyle? And I'm like, I thought he was joking. And he was like, do you know him at all? And I'm like, yeah, like, he rides at my house. And he was like, oh, really? Like, he rides? I'm like, Larry, like, you don't understand. The guy rides at my house, like, every day. Like, he comes over, and he didn't even know, but it was funny. And he was like, well, I'm going to try him out and stuff like that. I got a couple of riders on the list. I'm going to let him have a bike and let him go ride. Mm-hmm. And then Chisholm was the best. So, you know, he was good. Like, he was actually riding pretty good at what was it? U.S. Open. Then he threw the anchor out, and then he went backwards. But
yeah,
he sounded good.
What you ever tried on some of Dungey's gear and been like, yeah, man, this stuff's pretty good. That must be a little bit of a weird deal.
No, well, I think at first, like, I used to think his gear was cool. Like, I was like, all right, man, like, that stuff looks pretty cool, especially the old school one.
Yeah, the retro stuff is sweet.
But like, his gear won't fit me. Like, his gear won't fit and stuff. And like, I remember just looking at his gear and saying, oh, that was cool, but. It's like anything, like, dude, like, you go there, and it's like, I remember used to going up to the Yamaha track, and like, all right, man, the Yamaha track looks good, or the Suzuki track looks good, and then, you know, like, oh, man, the Cali track sucks, and then you get up at the Yamaha track, and you're like, oh, man, look at the Cali track, dude, look, dude, looks good.
Yeah.
And it's just like anything, you don't know until you get there and stuff, and, you know, it's all good, but, yeah, I used to look at his stuff, but I could never try it on, it wouldn't even fit.
What are you going to do with all your clothes in your closet? Dude, what are you going to do?
Well, I guess, well, a lot of the stuff's going to go to Goodwill. You know, I got to get rid of the stuff. And
God, I wish we were the same size.
Yeah.
We're a little different.
If I cut, like, I can cut the sleeves off and put like 3 shirts together. Well, probably 4.
Yeah.
I can put 2 of them side to side, and then you can use the other 2 on your sleeves. Like that probably fit.
Yeah. That'd be good. I'll be like a Fox athlete then.
Yeah, you're gonna be factory.
Hey, I want to talk about. Do you have to go or how long?
No,
you?
I'm cool.
I want to talk about the scrub. Like, Chad, Jeremy started doing something like it. Chad started doing something, but you really brought it into your own. I mean, the pictures are legendary now. The foot peg up the jump. When did you, like, how did that come about? Maybe you've told this story 800 times. I don't even know, but I want to know. When did you start doing it? When did you perfect it? And when did you go, holy crap, I'm onto something here?
Well, I started doing it when I was on 50s, but, like, I didn't know it was scrubs.
Yeah.
Like, we did the HBO thing a long time ago, and I was scrubbing on 50s. I thought it was funny. But then I just remember, like, at Anaheim, I kept crashing in the first corner. Like, that first year, I would always fall in the first corner. Could never figure out, like, all right, like, never figure out how to get out of the first corner without falling. And, like, I just remember coming up the jumps, like, all right, like, just doing something, but just staying lower than everybody. Lower and lower. So this started in like 2002. Like, just started getting lower and lower, and then it all, obviously that picture at Bud's Creek, mm-hmm. was the one that really set it off. That, like, that was the first time I ever seen it, and like, man, like, that's a sick photo.
Yeah.
And then I started like just taking it from there, and like just doing it for photos, and just doing it and doing it and doing it, and it just got to the point where now I don't even like doing it. So it's dangerous. Scrub is dangerous, kids. Don't try it at home.
Oh man, but it's so sweet when you're 3 feet lower than a dude in the air. Like, you scrubbed behind Chad one time, and I was sitting in the press box in Anaheim, and it was from the back, and you scrubbed on him. I mean, he's badass at it, and then you did it, and it was like, oh my god, it took my breath away. I'm like, did he just do that on purpose? And you just gained all this time. I'm like, holy, like, it's just amazing the skill that it took. Did you ever trouble doing it on a 450, or was it just like no big deal?
No, like, I mean, I did some of the best scrubs ever on 450s,
mm-hmm.
you know. It's just the point of, like, just doing it and just committing to it. But, you know, a lot of people do it weird. A lot of people do turndowns, and it's not the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where they go off the face, and then when they're in the air, then they turn it flat.
Right.
You know, that's what people are mistaken. You know, like, a scrub is, I mean, foot peg's dragging off the ground. Like, that's the scrub. Like, where you're completely flat on the face. And obviously, we've seen some photos where I've done that, and some other riders have done it too. But, you know, I like to just think, like, I didn't invent the scrub, but I definitely took it and made it it's called the scrub now.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You
know. Chad probably does more of a turndown, really.
Yeah, and Chad does, I mean, dude, I got to give him credit. The guy does some good turndowns. And, like, the Yamaha does some good turndowns. I didn't know it because I went out and was riding last week, and I saw Hamburger doing it, and then Hilly was doing it too, and I was like, all right, well, we're going to try that. And then I started doing it, and I'm like, all right, that's pretty good. So, yeah, he does some good ones for sure.
Have you ever ate shit because of it? Have you ever dragged your foot?
Oh, yeah. For sure. For
oh,
sure.
Yeah.
But I did it at Mount Morris in practice. I came up, and it wasn't even really the scrub. But I came up and I hit this kicker going off the finish line, and I was going to lay it over anyway, and the foot peg caught, hit my brake, stalled the motorcycle in the air. But it actually looked cool for, like, photos, though, like, because there was people, like, on the side of the fence, like, oh my gosh, dude, he just ate it. And I just landed on my feet, walked off, and just left the bike in the middle of the track and walked back to the motorhome.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. That's what happened. Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's what happened.
Yeah, dude, you never even stopped pacing. You landed and just kept walking.
Yeah, I said, you know what? Practice is almost done. I just crashed, so let's just end it on that note. Let's just go back to the motorhome and regroup and try it again tomorrow.
Yeah, I remember that because shortly after you walked by, like, Beaker and Rotto and everybody, like, ran by, me, and I'm like, oh, yeah, they're going to check on him. You know.
Yeah, no, I was fine. I was just pissed off. Like, dude, like, I was struggling. I was struggling that day. Like, I didn't like my bike set up, and, you know, we was just going back and forth. And I remember, like, we was trying, like, different motors, because at Sacramento, I kept, like, lighting my tire up. Like, there's so much power off the bottom. Like, kept spinning and stuff. And I remember, like, I told Rick, I was like, dude, like, look, just give me a smoother motor. And then RC came the next week with that Suzuki, because he had this motor. That was, like, it was scare my bike. Like, it would rumble my motorcycle. And I was so pissed because we was already committed to the other one, so I couldn't change back.
Yeah.
He was just, like, jumping that tunnel jump. And every time I would jump, I would come up short. And I was just frustrated. So the scrub and the crash, it just threw the icing on the cake. So
yeah.
I was done for that day.
Kind of like I see a pattern where you just don't. You don't accept not winning very well, you know what I mean? You're there to win, and or set the fastest time or whatever, you know? So you're like, all right, I'll see you tomorrow.
back then, like, it was like, okay, like, can't win? All right, I'll see you guys tomorrow then.
Yeah.
I would just have to try again, and then, like, I would try, and the biggest part was I tried so hard that I just crashed. But now, like, there's method to the whole madness, like I do. Like, I plan out wins, and that's how, like, a good athlete is. You know, you can plan a win. Like, you know, to me, like, I didn't feel like I had to win, like, you know, like, win at the first lap. Like, if it takes me 19 laps to get the job done, like, it'd take me 19 laps. And that's how Ricky was. You always saw Ricky never, like, panic. Like, he never panicked. And I think that's also, you know, just knowing you're in shape and stuff like that, I think, you know, all that, you know, plays in a factor. But even, like, last weekend at the U.S. Open, you know, like, I knew eventually I was going to catch Chad. I was like, all right, well, I'm going to just ride behind him, and I'm actually just going to, like, see if this, like, I want to test this bike, see if I can go on the inside and see what all I can do on the track, like, kind of, like, using a test section. And I never got to the point where I was worried because I knew I had, like, four more laps, and then he ended up crashing and stuff. But, you know, that's the thing. Like, a good champion, like, just takes his time and makes it happen when it counts. And,
yeah.
You know.
At Texas, when you fell this year at Texas, when you got up there, besides being crazy balls on that one thing with Millsaps, besides that, you not a lot of panic in you. You know what I mean? You weren't like, oh, shit, I got to be in the lead right now. You just kind of, I mean, you were going faster than those guys, but it wasn't, I remember you checking up a couple of corners and letting the dudes go because they had the line, you know?
It was fun because, like, I just remember, like, when I got up, my gloves were all muddy, so I had to take my time to wipe my gloves off. And then that pass on Millsaps, he always gets so mad at me. And, like, I think it's funny. But, like, I just remember hitting that jump. And, like, when we was going up through the sandwich, I was like, all right, dude, if he goes outside, I'm just going to hit this single as hard as I can, and I'm just going to make it good for TV. And, dude, that's exactly what I did. And, like, it was funny because, like, I knew I wasn't going to make the double, but I came up short and stuff. And in my helmet, like, I was laughing. But, like, that got me all pumped up. Like, I was like, oh, I'm excited now. Let me go, like, chase Alessi down. But, like, sometimes I do stuff like that just to do it.
Maybe the old James Stewart might have crashed right there because you did hit hard, you know?
Oh, I hit tough. Oh, yeah. I probably wouldn't have crashed because I probably held it on, but I probably would have some back problems after that.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Because that was not a smooth hit. What? Hey, did that thing go down with Alessi on the starting line at Redbud the way that Dirty Dog told me it did?
Well, you tell me how it went down. Well, actually, you know.
He told me that you said to him, if I wanted to put you down, I would have. Like, Mike was kind of mad about an aggressive move you did on him. And you were like, dude, I was just racing. If I wanted to take you out, trust me, you would have known that.
Okay. Well, it went down. And I'll tell you how my side and this side is probably completely different. But there was witnesses there, like Dirty Dog. He was there, so he heard. This is what happened. Like, I came down to the gate, and then, like, actually my mom told me. She was like, man, like, when you passed Alessi, it was pretty close. And I was like, no, I didn't think it was close. Like, I cut down in that bowl corner. I said, I thought it was pretty clean, you know. And then so she told me that, so I was like, all right, well, I'm going to go apologize to him on the gate because I don't want him, like, you know, like, trying to take me out.
He's not on your list.
Yeah, he's not on my list. Like, he's not that to me, all right? So I go up to him, and I just say, hey, I just want to apologize. I guess I came in too close. And dude, he started piping up. He said, well, that's not the only time you did it and stuff like that. You were always trying to take, you try to take me out every time. And I was like, look, Mike, if I was trying to take you out, dude, you would have been down by now. There's no, like, no ifs, buts, and ands. I would have been taking you out if I tried to take you out. And then, you know, he kept on, like, talking and stuff. And, like, he was like, well, next time, you know, it won't happen like that. And then, like, so I'm like, all right. I said, dude, he ain't just telling me that. He just didn't tell me that. So I was like, all right, well, all right, we'll just play that game. And then you know, Mikey started, like, piping up, too. And then when Mikey started getting, I was like, all right, well, I got to back him up. So, you know, we just kind of started going back and forth. And then Mikey was sitting on the gate. He was like, you better not let him get the whole shot. So I was like, all right. So that's why I took off from the start, and we came together. Like, I, like, hit him. Uh-huh. Like, I, like, hit him. And then, unfortunately, all that stuff happened to him. But it was just, like, one of those things. I tried coming up and apologize. He got all mad, which is understandable and stuff. And, like, I don't know if he was trying to make me intimidated, like, be afraid of him or whatnot. But, you know, it didn't work out. And, you know, unfortunately, he crashed.
Yeah, no, hopefully that incident didn't cause him to get run over by 39 other guys. That would be probably not so good, but...
Yeah, and, dude, I felt bad. Dude, like, I honestly felt bad because I was sitting on the gate and I was like, dude, like, if I knew he was going to crash like that, I would let him get the whole shot because that's not cool.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to do that. Like, I'll beat the guy, like...
Did you see it on YouTube? Did you watch it?
Dude, I saw it. Dude, he's blessed. Like, he's a lucky dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then... The worst part is, like, at the end, like, when number 75, what's the...
Renner.
Renner came over, just hooked him up again, and I was like, ooh.
like 10 seconds later.
Oh, and what I meant to tell you, Marsak.
Oh, Marsak, that's the guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Marsak's my guy, so...
You're right, yeah, he was a Cali guy. High numbers. Yeah. That's funny, because I was thinking about it, too, and I still came up with nothing.
Yeah, so he was number 29,
Marsak, though. No. Yeah, no, I'd heard that that Mike at one of the earlier races that he was trying to mess with you in practice a little bit, trying to get in your head apparently, and I don't really know if that's true or not. I think something that Dirty Dog told me.
Yeah, no, like even when Dirty Dog says it's pretty legit.
Yeah, well, he's old, dude. He doesn't care about like all that kind of stuff, you know.
Yeah, he's not at that point. He's not trying to start stuff. But no, there was a lot of stuff that went on and stuff. And, like, to be honest, like it used to bother me when people, like, trying to do stuff. But I laugh at him now. Like, I just think it's funny. Like, even, like, unless he would come up, like, I was trying to do starts or something like that. And he would line up next to me and, you know, do that or ride behind me on the track. And I was like, dude, like, look, you know, no matter what you do right here, like, it's not, you're not even, like, coming close to getting my head, so you know, go and do what you're gonna do, and then you know we'll figure it out later. But yeah, nah, it was cool.
He probably doesn't even want to do that. Tony told him to.
Yeah, that was like, and you know, I always liked the Jeff. I felt bad because I always called him Mike. Like I call him Mike Jeff.
Oh, but, really?
Like,
yeah.
I don't have anything against Mike. You know, it's just you know some of the stuff he said. Like I can't like him. You know, I can't forgive some of the stuff he said to me. So it's back in 2004. So.
Let's talk about Supercross season coming up. What do you think Supercross tracks could do better? What's your thoughts on that? I am a big proponent of bringing back the over-under bridge. Is that necessary?
That was fun. That was fun because I've always won with over-under bridges.
Where did it go?
I don't know. They went out the door, I guess. You know, it's like anything. Everything goes out. Where does big whoops go? They're gone. They're not as distant anymore. And it's funny, the tracks back in 01, you know, 99 to like, you know,
01. Oh, dude, they were gnarly.
They were gnarly.
Yeah.
And now, like, you know, you look at, like, well, why the lap time's faster? Well, look at the track difference. Like, the tracks are way easier now. And, yeah, granted, we make it easier, but you can visually see tracks are a lot easier than they used to be and stuff. And, you know, I think the over-under parts are cool and stuff like that. And, you know, I think even a race in the 250Fs and, you know, 450s are cool. Like, you know, whatever to fill the gates in. Like, I don't have no problem with it. But I believe at the end of the day, the same guy's going to win if you put two barrels on the, you know, free. Still, the same guy's going to be up front.
Put big whoops in there, though, and dudes like you are going to kill them even more. You know what I mean? Like you and Chad and the top guys are really going to separate themselves, I think.
Yeah, no, I think decent size whoops, but you know, you don't want anything in there that's too dangerous, you know, like you know, at the end of the day, you know, we still wanna have fun, but you know, big whoops is just gonna spread it out more. You know, tougher tracks is just gonna spread it out more, you know, so you know, it's kinda like one of those things like what do you do? You know, it's like what do you do? I don't have a fix for that, you know.
Do they talk to you much about the tracks, Dirtworks guys, Live Nation guys? Do they talk to you much about it?
No, like you know, we were talking about the track at the U.S. Open, and, you know, sometimes we'll go down there and talk to them about it, but, you know, it's pretty much, you know, if I see anything that's dangerous, you know, we'll talk about that, but, No, yeah. not too much.
What's
too
dangerous much. To you? I mean, a lion pit?
What's dangerous to me is, like, you know, like the section we had at the U.S. Open, those on-offs. You know,
oh,
at first
yeah.
All, it was tough enough just doing them. Everybody would say that. But then you could, like, if somebody went over the berm, you're going into the next straightaway, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, so, like, I didn't understand, like, okay, if it's that tight, why do you put the on-off and then you tip over the berm, you land in the first corner? Like, that's the stuff that I see dangerous. Like,
yeah.
I don't, the obstacles and stuff, like, that's all right. You know, mm-hmm. Some of it's dangerous, but some of it's fun. But just that little stuff like that, it's not cool.
If you could change one thing at Supercross, what would you do?
That's a tough one.
Yeah.
That's a tough one. I'm probably a big fan of the over-under, so I will bring that back.
Okay,
I probably would, yeah. Like, the over-under were cool. Yeah, that's about it. I would say, okay, build the inside and outside berms like they used to, like when Brash
yep.
took out. Like,
yep.
that stuff was cool, and bring back the big berms, like, not the little rinky-dinky ones that you hit them wide open, you'll go jump into the 30th stand up there, so.
Yeah. What did you think of the retro track? I know you didn't race it, but I think you were there.
I was there.
Yeah.
I was there. Oh, trust me, I was there. I was there in spirit. I thought it was all right.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it wasn't the coolest track, but, you know, the retro track, it was pretty cool. Like, it wasn't my favorite track. Like, I thought it was a cool idea, but you know, I would have went with something a little different, like maybe a TT track, you know, something, I don't know, wide open, something like that. But I just thought, like, with the singles and stuff, it kind of got, like, just a little one-lined from what I seen on the track and stuff. But
right.
It was all good. It was cool. The thought, I gave him an A-plus for the thought, but maybe the execution wasn't all there.
So you got Bercy coming up, your first time there, your last race for Fox, actually, too. And you're going to have Kevin Windham and David Villeman, who is the king of Bercy. You'll see that also. So what's your thoughts on that race?
Well, I think it's a lot of stuff going on. Like, I mean, obviously, I think the show's going to be really cool. I mean, from what I hear, everybody says it's pretty sick and stuff. So I'm excited about going over there. I'm excited about racing in Europe for a change that's not really, you know, it's a big race, but it's not one of those races where it's like, dude, if I lose, I'm grass, everybody's going to look at me. But, you know, like, run across the nation. So I think it'd be cool racing against Kevin. Like, I like racing against him. He's a clean guy. Like, I have a lot of respect for him and stuff. And David, you know, obviously, it's going to be a shame seeing him on the Kawasaki. You know, that'd be pretty cool. And unfortunately, with Hill getting hurt, you know, that kind of sucks. I'm looking forward to racing him, too. But I think it'd be good. And obviously, yeah, it is my last race with Fox and stuff. And hopefully everything goes smooth. And, you know, we can just, you know, get through it and stuff.
Yeah, that's going to be a weird thing to see you in all new gear, new helmet, and boots, and everything come Anaheim. I think that's going to be a little freaky, but...
Yeah. Well, it'll be weird. It's going to be pretty good. I think Fox hired Jason Moore, so...
Yeah, I heard that, too. I don't know what that kid's doing. What's your thoughts on that guy?
I don't know. Like, I don't know. Like, at first, when I said at, I think it was, like, Texas, you know, I blamed the people around him and stuff like that, but... You know, there's only so many times you can, you know, mess up and stuff and, you know, and point your finger somewhere else. And, you know, I just hope the kid gets health and stuff like that. I mean, man, the guy's talented and stuff like that. But, you know, you make bad decisions, you have to live those decisions. And, you know, it's just one of those things that you can't blame anybody but him.
Yeah, have you actually spoken to him or had, like, any interaction with him at all?
Like, you know, it's a weird deal, like, I've spoken to him, like, you know, like, hey, what's going on, like, that kind of stuff. But, like, I've always been, like, away from that. Like, I found, like, you know, when you're on a different team, you know, it's weird going to talk to Yamaha guys.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how it's weird going to talk to Josh Hill, Brock Hepler, that, you know, we're doing that. But, like, now, like, I talk to those guys, I talk to Josh Hill, like, you know, we get along, I talk to Brock, we get along. But, like, Jason, I guess he's always been, like, fine to fire, so I've never, like, been able to, like, hang out with him. I don't even, like, see him.
yeah, I don't know. I don't know if he can go back to California right now. I'm really not sure what's going on with that deal. But
yeah, dude, I heard about the Holyfield Institute. That's crazy.
The Holyfield. He pulled a Holyfield.
Yeah, dude. He pulled a Tyson. Dude, I don't know what
yeah.
that was. You know, I don't does that to people and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's probably a really good point there. One last question, I guess, for you before I let you go. Why do you think that Kawasaki didn't want to make you an offer?
I don't know. Like, I mean, to be honest, like, I guess it's probably really hard for people to, like, really believe it, but I guess I'm not the first person. I remember Ricky saying the same thing. They don't hire you and stuff. I don't know. Like, I honestly don't know. Like, I wrote letters to those guys. Hey, you know, like, do something next year and stuff. No.
Mm-hmm. Nothing. Weird.
Nothing. Like, at this point, like, if I was stupid, like, I'll still be waiting for a contract.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, it's cool and stuff. Like I said, you know, before, like, those guys, like, you know, people like Rick and, like, Sergio and those guys, Norm and all those dudes, like, they've always been really cool to me. Like, never had any issues and stuff. And then, you know, obviously, when, you know, Mike came in, you know, and things started changing a little bit, and I just started going the other direction and got a job.
Yeah. I wonder, maybe it's a money thing, you know? Villapoto is probably cheaper than you. I don't know. Maybe they're trying to save some money. Who knows?
No, it's not a money thing. I mean, it's not a money thing at all.
No.
Even the contract, like, they offered me and stuff, like, I took my deal, and they was happy, like, with paying and stuff like that. It's not a money thing, what people think. I mean, if I get at a situation, like, how can you demand a lot of money when you don't have any other offers on the table?
Oh, no, I'm not saying you left for more money. I'm saying they were like, man, we can't even pay this guy what he, you know, we can't even match what he's making now, you know?
Yeah, well,
let's save some money and hire Villapoto. I don't know.
Well, you know, I don't think so. You know, Kawasaki's a company that wants to win, so, you know, if he starts winning, they're just going to pay the money back anyway. So
yeah, true.
I just think, like, you know, it's just one of those deals that no matter what it is, you know, that's all you do is you just want to answer. And, you know, the cool part, even, like, with the Chad and Ellen deal, you know, they split up and stuff. Like, I know for sure L&M gave Chad an offer. I know that for a fact. You know, it was a good offer. I know it was probably way more than what he makes now.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know, like, you know, that was an offer and stuff. So they try to keep stuff, things happening in different directions. But at least at the end of the day, like, he can be upset, but at least they offered him something where he could say, all right, well, I was offered, I can go to bed at night. Not really knowing. That's like, you know, he comes home and your chick's packed all that stuff. You ask her why, she doesn't even pick the phone. She's trying to figure out. So, that was one of those deals. And like I said, at the end of the day, I'm happy. Like, I'm completely happy with my deal. And, like, it probably would happen anyway. So at the end of the day, like, I believe that everything happens for a reason. It probably would have happened anyway. But I'm stoked to be with Yamaha. I'm stoked. I'm happy.
All right. Well, hey, thanks for doing this, James. That's awesome, man. And you spoke a lot longer than I thought you would, and you were easier to get a hold of than I thought you were, and you called me when you said you would. This has been like a dream podcast for me.
Well, remember those dreams and stuff like that about the mainframe and all that?
Yeah, yeah. That's a good point. Hey, those turned out really good, actually.
Yeah, no, it was cool. No, for sure. But I just think, you know, like, I'm a lot different person than you think, Steve. And obviously, you know that, and, you know, hopefully people will see this, and they understand where I'm coming from on everything. Everything was done by a reason, actually.
Yeah, I think people will. I think whoever listens to this will realize that, you know, who you are and what you're all about. And that, yeah, I think you were honest and open, and that's all anybody can really ask for, you know?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. So, no, I appreciate everything, Steve, and hopefully it turns out good.
All right, man. Well, hey, I'll see you at A1.
Yeah, thanks, Steve.
All right, bye.
All right, see you.
So that concludes another exciting edition of the Eraser X podcast show with James Stewart. Thought that was pretty good. Hopefully you guys made it to the end. 90 minutes. But I think it was pretty informative, pretty cool, pretty honest and open throughout. And stay tuned next week for another one. I'm not sure if I can top this one, but I'll try. I'll try to bring in some sort of industry guest or rider that will knock your socks off. Thanks for listening. See you next week.